This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 13th day of October 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. We're under a rain delay for the harvest season, and we'll take up the weather forecast as we close out our program with the guys at Earth Risk Technologies. They're in Chicago, Illinois. But more importantly, discuss the effect on basis with the guys out of the Andersons facility right here in Champaign County, and we'll do it all during this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media and the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check the numbers as they finished up in Chicago. For this Monday afternoon, corn futures were up 12 cents today at $3.46 on their settlement price. The March at 358.5, 11 and 3 quarters higher. May futures at 367.5, up 11 and 3 quarters. And July corn, 11 and a half cents higher at $3.75 and a quarter. September, 383, up 11 and a quarter. Next year's December, 392, 10 and a quarter cents higher. From the soy complex, nearby beans up 22 and 3 quarters of a cent. In the November, $9.45 and a quarter, the settlement price. January at 9.53 and a quarter, up 22 and 3 quarters. In the March at 9.61 and 3 quarters, 23 cents higher. May futures up 23 at 9.70. July at 9.76 and 3 quarters, up 23. And next year's November, 18 and a quarter cents higher at $9.62 and a quarter. Bean meal up $4.10 for the day. And the bean oil at 60 cents higher, finished up at $32.88. Wheat futures in the soft red winter. December at 5.05 and a quarter, up 6 and 3 quarters. July at 5.29 and 3 quarters, up 7 cents. And Kansas City harvest month, or July at $5.79 for 2015. Up 6.25 cents. Livestock, live cattle futures now. Nearby October at 166.57.5, $1.67.5 higher for the day. December at 166.85, up $1.55. Feeder cattle finished up at 241.87.5 in the lead option October at $1.37.5 higher. November at 240.57.5, also $1.37.5 higher. And lean hogs for the day were down 15 cents in the October at 109.30. December at 94.77.5, up 37.5. This is Illinois Public Media.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
In the outside markets at this hour, November crude oil is trading $85.53 a barrel. That's 29 cents lower. Heating oil for the day at $2.55 and a tenth of a cent is down 8 tenths of a cent. That's also diesel fuel. Gasoline on the RBOB at $2.25 and 2 tenths of a cent is just a half of a cent lower, or rather, yeah, right at a half of a cent lower. And natural gas for the day is currently trading the nearby at $3.91 and 3 tenths. That's 5 and 5 tenths of a cent higher. Ethanol futures on the afternoon in the lead option at $1.63 and 7 tenths, 4 cents higher. Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 12 points at 16,425. Gold futures at about $1,232, or $10.75 higher. And the U.S. dollar index is trading at 85.645. That's down 0.386 on the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area. Occasional showers and thunderstorms, a high of 72 degrees. Chance of rainfall this afternoon, 80%. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms. Some of those storms could be severe. They'll produce some heavy rainfall, low of 60 degrees. Chance of rainfall in the area, 100%. Tomorrow now, showers likely, cloudy, and a high of 67, a 70% chance of rainfall, and then 50% chance of rainfall on Tuesday evening, mostly cloudy, and a low of 54 degrees. Wednesday, a 50% chance of showers. Wednesday night, 30%. Thursday, finally, partly sunny skies and 65 degrees. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour.
Support for agricultural information on WILL comes from Busey. With over 145 years of agribusiness experience, Busey offers solutions, resources, and expertise to support local landowners. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Of course, you're listening to the Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is the 13th day of October. We're joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, to take a look at the marketplace. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It was a good day in Chicago. If you wanted prices to go higher, what was behind all of the green?
Well, good day for prices, bad day for harvest activity with the weather. And weather took front stage and center here. The idea that we're going to be wet for the next 48 hours across the Midwest, and a drier trend once we get into late week, and presumably drier once we get into the 1st of November. We'll see how those maps unfold, but end users kind of still have it in their hands in the pocket, not being real aggressive buyer, but the futures has gotten excited with the first part of October coming and starting to move right along and through here, and possible turns on the dates and also turns on the technical indicators. With funds buying over 7,000 contracts of beans, 3,000 meal, 2,000 oil, 8,000 corn, and 2,000 wheat contracts. So it was a fairly heavy volume day of technical fund-related buying, Todd.
So is it? It's simply that things have turned technically here, and we maybe have put in some kind of harvest low. I'll let you decide whether that's the case or not, and that the funds are in the marketplace and the rain delay has some to do with that, but that mostly maybe we've found a bottom in this market?
Well, we're trying to record a bottom in through here. Obviously, you look back to, from a technician point, if you're strictly going by the charts, the low's in place until we take it out. With harvest activity expected to be 20-25% complete in corn and maybe up to 30% complete in beans, it's kind of hard to get real bullish or positive price action and call harvest low in place. Basis is still sloppy in some areas, and it's going to take a little bit of time here before we get the crop out and find a home. But anxiety, the end user wanting to get some coverage on, will hopefully come forward here and firm up the basis. The thing is, in the beans particularly, we've come off an empty pipeline, per se, and so beans probably have a little bit more excitement in them, especially if we go ahead and see confirmation Asia's back into the marketplace. They're crushing margins back to a positive somewhat, so we'll see if there's some sales announced this week. But I think we're overall range-bound. This these corn futures up towards the 350 area is fairly good resistance. Nove beans, 950, 55 up against the previous high we record resistance. There's going to be some buy stops up there they might try to take out, but I believe we'll find a high for the week here by tomorrow or Wednesday, then slowly correct back the other way. It's kind of up one day, down the next type of trading affair, in our opinion.
So if what you're telling me is true, we're within a few pennies of both of those marks for corn and soybeans. You expect to have the high, as you said, in place for the week, maybe in the overnight session tonight or through the day tomorrow, and then to drift lower as the combines start to move from west to east across the Corn Belt?
Well, harvest activity, is going to remain consistent, for the next 2 months. It's going to take some time to get the crop out in some areas. We're not going to see 80-degree weather and sunshine by all means, so it's just going to take some time to get it out, and hopefully, it won't be a case where it has to freeze in some areas to get it out, per se. But I think harvest is a little strong out, a little longer than what people anticipated. We'll see how the transportation system holds up here as we move into the winter and into next spring, per se. But in order to get some actual big up move follow-throughs in through here, I think it's going to hinge on the southern hemisphere on what type of prospects they encounter. They're a little dry in that northeast. There's some moisture in that regions forecasted for early next week. That'll probably be a little bit more, but after today's price action and looking at last week's report, we've kind of removed the big news items here. The next big news item will probably be the January report, where they start to come back in and get a handle on these acres, per se. So we're going to run out of news to trade on through here, and once we lose this buying enthusiasm, we can probably drift and wander. I don't see a big up or a big down. I think it's consolidation. Name of the game takes a little out of the middle to add to your bottom line.
What have your clientele been telling you about the elevators in their area, how quickly they have filled up? Some of them, I think, have. Although a rain delay probably is pretty good. That'll give them a chance to move some corn out of the way. What have they been saying about the availability, how quickly they shut down the pits at night, their ability to store the corn to get it all dried and put in place?
Well, I've heard very few cases where there's been real big issues. With the rain delays, they've been able to move stuff around. Going through the countryside, we've gone through past elevators where there was no trucks around at all. So it varies a lot. For the most part, there's not that huge backup where if we've got problems right now and we're only 25% harvested, we're going to have huge problems here in another couple weeks when we get in more glut of the corn harvest. So it'll find a home. I think that the basis is relatively widened here. They'll be eager to continue to buy grain fairly cheap here, hedge of the board. We're going to see some huge deliveries here this winter as the commercial takes advantage of that wide basis.
Anything that you should, that you would like to pass on, that is, to our listeners about the 2015 corn and soybean crop?
Well, I don't think there's going to be any corn acres next year, according to what some of these guys are saying. There's some great debate on where the market needs to go for this coming crop year. I think first we need to get the 14 crop out of the field first before we decide what we're going to do on 15. But ideas are close to $4 on December corn futures is not really going to discourage a whole lot of acres. We need to see December 15 corn get down to that 350 area to discourage a whole lot of acres. As far as price goes, as far as pencil pushing goes, you know, that varies from individual to individual. But the idea is we need to lose anywhere from 2 to 4 million acres on that 15 corn. The real popular spread is to be buying 15 corn, selling 15 beans on the spread. There's some real bearish numbers for 2015 if the southern hemisphere comes through with a big crop. There's ideas as being market for 2015 could drop below $8. That's a long ways away, but we'll see. So that's kind of the trend. That's kind of the talk. We'll see how that develops here as we go through early winter.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
Okay, take care.
You too. That's Kurt Kimmel, of course. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. A couple of things to keep in mind while we're in the midst of this rain delay. You might want to dial this number, 800-898-1065, or visit our website at willag.org and pick up your ticket for our November the 24th Farm Assets Conference. If you're still farming by then, you've got bigger problems than the $25 you're going to spend on this ticket, but you ought to pick it up right now so you have your place saved. Again, it's 800-898-1065. The ticket price is just $25. 12 of our regular on-air analysts will be with us and will take up soybeans, corn, and the cash grain market. And just as importantly, we'll have 3 U of I professionals with us to talk about the Arkin PLC decision. Mr. Kappas will be there to do that. That's the farm bill. And Gary Schnitke will take up the SCO and other types of crop insurance updates that you'll be dealing with next spring or into the March season. And we'll discuss the price of farmland with Bruce Sherrick. That's all part of our Farm Assets Conference in Normal, Illinois, on the 24th day of November. That's the Monday before Thanksgiving. It's just $25. It starts around 10 o'clock in the morning, runs to 5 in the afternoon at the Marriott Hotel, which is located on the Illinois State University campus right there in Normal, Illinois, you can call this number 800-898-1065 to pick up your ticket today. Just a couple of ag news notes for the day. The New York Times is reporting that the Canadian Pacific Railway has approached CSX, the big Florida-based rail line, about a merger. While the two companies have begun to discuss the possibility of a transaction, CSX seems a bit cool to the idea, says the Times, and it's too early to tell whether they will pursue one. If completed, a deal would unite two of the biggest railroad operators at a time when, of course, rail traffic in North America is soaring. Because of the energy boom, that would snarl Amtrak traffic and, more importantly for our farm listeners, tie up more freight line capacity. Canadian Pacific, with a market value of $32.5 billion, has rail lines that stretch across Canada and into the United States. CSX has a market value of about $30 billion and controls a network of lines throughout the eastern United States. What appears investors are finding easier ways to invest about $100 billion of assets rather than in the commodity markets, and a telling sign that commodities may struggle for several years to attract investment flows. A clutch of professionals who make their living from the asset class slammed its prospects at a recent conference. One speaker dismissed one by one the attractions of holding commodities in an investor portfolio. Kelvin Milgate, head of the commodity investor products at Koch Metals Trading, told the World Commodities Week conference this month the marginal benefits of commodities today is less than the cost of obtaining and maintaining that allocation. Milgate said big pension funds that already committed to investing in commodities would probably hold fast, but that others have not taken the plunge and were likely to stay away. Many investors have found cheaper and easier ways to diversify portfolios and hedge inflation than the complex commodity worlds, he told the conference, that, of course, was also sparsely attended. That is also another downbeat sign. He says it may be possible to replicate a lot of the benefits of commodities with other asset classes that perhaps managers feel more comfortable using. While big investors can afford specialists to navigate the minefields of commodities investing, small investors often consider it better to steer clear. And finally today, this news note, world food prices are the lowest in 4 years. The Food and Agriculture Organization's price index slipped for the sixth consecutive time, showing a drop in food prices to their lowest level since August of 2010. Reuters reports all major food groups in the index for September dropped except for meat. The index was led by a sharp decline in dairy prices. The index, which measures monthly price changes for a basket of cereals, oilseeds, dairy, meat, and sugar, averaged 191.5 points in September, down 5.2 points, or 2.6% from August. The figure is 12.2 points, or 6% below September. According to the FAO, the current streak is the longest period of continuous falls since the late 1990s. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Let's stay with the freight and railroad theme for the day because we've already talked about the Canadian Pacific and the CSX. Let's move to the BNSF, where an official for the railroad says they're making progress on the rail service issues plaguing the agricultural industry and can handle the record harvest. BNSF Ag Products Group Vice President John Miller says they've invested some $5 billion in rail infrastructure, including 5,000 rail cars. And they're also working on the rail line capacity, says while they don't prioritize grain for shipment, their turn times have improved.
We have said that we will turn our shuttle freight 2.5 trips to the PNW, which is the big haul for the soybeans during harvest. And we're there now. There's only been 2 weeks in the last, I think, seven that we've been below 2.5. But they rebounded very strongly last week. We got to 2.7 trips per month last week. Frankly, we're moving more soybeans loaded out of the state of South Dakota on us from the start of this year's harvest versus compared to last year. We're up by 33%.
Some elevators say they've seen no change in service and are still dealing with record prices for rail cars. However, Miller refutes that, saying the price is a secondary market issue.
Now, from the standpoint of cost, though, you can still have a big harvest, and you can still have big demand, and you can still have us performing well at these 2.5 trips, and you can still have premiums. It's almost every year harvest, you have a premium in the secondary market. The BNSF does not participate in the secondary market that you referred to. Other than that, our service affects it, and the more consistent we are, the more turns we make help put some pressure on that market. But that market is a bid-offer market between elevators, from one elevator to the other elevator as they trade freight between them.
Last week, the Surface Transportation Board issued an order requiring railroads to regularly provide shipping status updates to the public. Miller says he understands the additional transparency the STP is seeking. However, BNSF is already communicating, he says, key logistical information to the marketplace.
From a reporting standpoint, we understand that customers, shippers on BNSF need to have a better sense of, you know, what to expect from us in terms of plans, predictability, so they can make their plan going forward better for themselves and their business and of course, their farmers as well. So we get that. We understand that. We've been doing that up front and center for the last several months, and we'll continue to do that through this harvest.
The order requires all Class 1 railroads to report grain train speeds, dwell times, oil train volumes, and the amount of grain moved from each state classified by the type of grain. Well, of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Monday afternoon. Let's check out the cash grain market now. Greg Johnson is on the line from the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Greg, I take it you're probably not so busy today, but maybe there are a few trucks in line.
Well, there's one or two guys that only got 0.2 of an inch of rain, and they're trying, but for the most part, I think most people either have had enough rain or see the rain in the forecast, and are they going to wait for a better day.
So what does a rain delay for this year mean, do you suppose? How much will it spread out harvest? And I have a whole bunch of other questions to ask you, too.
Well, we think we're getting close to half done on corn around here, but only a third done on beans around here. So obviously the wet weather is going to delay the beans, because last week was a pretty good week weather-wise, but yet the beans just did not seem to want to dry down until late in the week, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So we got a full week of corn harvest in, but only a partial week of bean harvest, and I'm afraid that's maybe what we see in the foreseeable future is we can always go out and get corn, it seems like, as long as it's not raining, but the beans may be an issue to get those last beans out of the field.
Well, therein lies the explanation for the 20-cent jump in the bean market for the day. Did the basis follow it up?
We did not see we saw basis improve last week in the bean market, but we didn't see any further improvement today. So I think they let the board do most of the work today. But if the weather stays like this and the board doesn't continue to rally, then maybe the basis will have to do some of that work in the future.
How easy is it for you to get rail curse?
It was fairly easy, easy being a relative term, in September. We were only a week or two behind. But here in October, trains are going to be a little bit harder to come by. And with the values where they are, I think trains are there, but you may not get them in October. They may not show up till November. So if you need them to stay open, selling a train may not be the thing to do.
Do you have your own locomotive?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
And then I'm short on time, but when you move those cars in place, how long do they have to set waiting for another locomotive to take them away?
Well, we have 24 hours to load a train, so when it comes in, we pull those cars underneath the spout, and we get them loaded about 10 an hour, yeah. and we've got to get them ready to be pulled out in 24 hours or less.
And quickly, your bids.
All right, we have cash corn tonight at 317. January is 340.
Yeah. Support
cash
comes from AgriGold.
January 938 and new wheat 505.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
That, of course, is Greg Johnson. He's with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. Back in just a couple of minutes with the weather forecast.
It's National Yorkshire Pudding Day. Yes, the dish did originate in Yorkshire, and it is a staple of the British Sunday dinner. It is often claimed that the purpose of the dish was to provide a cheap way to fill the stomach, thus stretching the more expensive dinner ingredients that follow. It's also St. Coleman's Day, patron of cattle and horses. While on a pilgrimage to the Holy Lands, Coleman was stopped on suspicion of being a Moravian spy. No evidence other than being a stranger, he was convicted of espionage, tortured, and hanged with two thieves. In the tradition of the time, the bodies were left to rot as a warning to others. Coleman's body hung there for 18 months, incorrupt and untouched by animals. Miracles were reported at the site, including the scaffolding taking root and putting out branches. On this day in agricultural history, in 54 AD, Claudius, Emperor of Rome, died by poisoning. Supposedly, he was poisoned with mushrooms by his wife Agrippina, after her son Nero was named as heir. And in 1792, the first Old Farmer's Almanac was published. It is the oldest continuously published periodical in North America. Robert Thomas founded the publication, and it was an almost instant success. In its second year, it sold 9,000 copies at a cost of about 9 cents an issue. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Monday afternoon. Let's check now the weather forecast with John Davis. He's at Earth Risk Technologies in Chicago, Illinois. Hi, John. How are you today?
Well, I'm great, Todd. How are you?
Oh, I'm a little soggy here, and producers I know are concerned. They'd like to know how much rainfall over this rain event they'll have in a large part of the Midwest, and then whether they'll have open time afterwards to get started again.
Well, we are going to have a wet start to this week as we do see these bands of showers moving through today, tomorrow, and into Wednesday. From an amount standpoint, it looks like when everything is said and done over this 2 or 3 day period, we will come in with totals on the light side in the range of 3 or 4 tenths, on the heavier side about 1.2 to 1.3 inches. So nothing terribly heavy, but certainly enough to keep producers out of the fields here for a couple of days. Once we get past the middle of this week, kind of starting late Wednesday and Thursday across the Midwest, we will begin to see the activity kind of move out of the belt, and that will be the start of a stretch of another period of extended dry weather, which will go through this upcoming weekend and through much of next week. So after the next 2 or 3 days, when we do tend to see these rains moving through, beyond that, it looks like another pretty long open stretch coming up that will last well into next week.
Do they have a little wind and maybe some higher temperatures to go with that to dry things out?
Well, certainly wind. And so with the kind of pattern that we have coming up, quite a bit of wind here, especially the middle to end of this week, as we do see some pretty changeable temperatures across the Midwest. And overall, from a temperature perspective, a lot of variability. I think over time, overall temperatures will average out to be relatively close to normal, but a lot of day-to-day variability. So some warm days, but it's not like you're going to see a stretch of 7 or 9 warm days in a row now.
And if you look further out past that next week, what do you see in the following week? Anything good or bad?
Well, overall here, it looks like the drier pattern here that we're going to get into here later on this week and beyond looks to hold. In other words, there's no indication of any kind of very wet pattern developing across the Midwest. And still at this time of year, when you do tend to see wetness, a lot of that comes out of the Gulf of Mexico. And the Gulf of Mexico continues to remain very, very quiet, as it has been much of this late fall or this late summer fall period. And so really no signs of any kind of tropical activity developing.
Thanks so much, John.
My pleasure, Todd.
John Davis, of course, is with Earth Risk Technologies out of Chicago, Illinois. And that wraps up the Closing Market Report.
Learned Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Learned Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Learned Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.